I'd ask you to turn, please, to the first book in your Bible, Genesis chapter 3. And we read verse number 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took off the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. Now look over at chapter 21 of the same book, Genesis chapter 21. And verse 15. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, Let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Verse 19. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. The next chapter, please. Verse number 6, chapter 22. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Verse 9, And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Verse 13, And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Now I'll ask you to turn over to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 22. And we read verse number 31, Numbers chapter 22. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me, and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee, and saved her alive. A reference, please, in the second book of Kings, and chapter 6. Second Kings chapter 6, and we read verse number 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. Now that's all we wish to read. It's with the prayer of Elisha on our hearts tonight. I want you to follow me in these scriptures we have read, and see a number of people that had their eyes opened. And with that prayer that God will open the eyes of some young man tonight. Our first parents had their eyes opened to learn their guilt as fallen creatures. Adam and Eve had their eyes opened to learn that sin had robbed them of a fitness for the divine presence. And Adam said, "I was afraid, for I was naked." A man afraid of meeting God as a fallen creature. Then we will take a look at a young man in a way that was perverse. And God was dealing with him in a providential way, upsetting the plans in his life, stopping him in the course that he had taken, bringing him through disappointing experiences, until he had his eyes open to learn he was in danger of the sword of judgment. Then did you notice that a boy with the bottles of the earth drained, and his eyes were opened not to see another bottle, but to see that God had a provision that could satisfy every longing within a young man's heart. Had provided a well that the boy could never drain. And his half-brother, he had his eyes opened, for he thought of the fire that would burn. He thought of the instrument of judgment that would strike, and said, "Isaac, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And as a helpless creature, he was turned about to see that God had provided another. Did you notice the language of our reading? In the stead of his son Isaac. And Isaac, the boy that trembled with thoughts of the fire that would burn, he saw that God had provided another to take his place. John Newton, the man who wrote and appreciated Amazing Grace, he wrote another hymn. And John Newton wrote, "I saw one hanging on a tree, in agonies and blood, who fixed his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood. Sure never to my latest breath could I forget that look? It seemed to charge me with his death, though not a word he spoke. Another look he gave which said, 'I freely thee forgive. This blood is for thy ransom paid. I died that thou mayest live.'" What was it that changed a seafaring slave trader to a devoted servant of Christ? It was an appreciation that God had provided another to take the place of the sinner. May God open the eyes of some dear one in the meeting tonight. We preach most sympathetically. I do agree that it is the most dreadful experience that any mortal can have in life. A dreadful experience for a dear lady to come into a meeting such as this.
and be awakened to the great reality that without conversion I haven't got one hope of ever being in God's presence. If I can catch the language of John Wesley, he said, I was schooled in the science of religion. I had gained my degree in theology. I was ordained to holy orders. In my zeal, he said, I went forth to teach religion, Christianity, to the Georgian Indians. He suffered privation. And he said, I learned that I myself had never started for heaven. Do you know the favorite text of that man that changed the very social fabric of Britain with his preaching? His favorite text was this, ye must be born again. He was asked on one occasion, Wesley, why do you so often preach ye must be born again? Because, said Wesley, ye must be born again. What experience had Wesley? He had that experience of being awakened. That a man could have everything that religion could endow him with. And he drank in the words of Christ that could not have two meanings. No, we're not here to preach the opinions of men. We're not here to preach the creed of some. Us company of people. Friend, we are here to bring to our attention the teaching from the infallible Word of God that will outlive its every critic. And said Christ with words that could not have two meanings, except ye be converted, ye shall not enter the kingdom. It must have been a great awakening, you know, for Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was circumcised. He was a teacher of the law. He had more religiously than any man in the continent of Australia. But that night in the Lord's presence, he learned this vital matter from Christ himself, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked. And before that chapter closes, we read that God drove them out. And Adam and Eve learned this vital lesson, that sin will shut a man out from the divine presence forever. An awakening as to their state as fallen, guilty creatures. This man Balaam, he went through experiences in life that he couldn't understand. He had chosen a course, he had set himself on it, and by some mysterious circumstance, he was turned out of that course. He was robbed of his ambition. He was very annoyed. He was very angry. And again he set himself determined on the course that he had taken. And this time the ass that bore him, it crushed his foot against the wall and it hurt his feelings. And he was very angry. Until he had his eyes opened to learn that he was on a course that would bring the judgment of God upon him. I know a man in our country. When he was a young man, he had set himself to go into the agricultural college and get away from home. His mother asked him to drive her to a gospel meeting, and he went very reluctantly. He sat in the meeting with a dumb face on him and sought to close his ears to the preaching. On the way home, they saw a commotion by the roadside and they drew the car to a halt. It was a car that had crashed. And he told me, I went forward and I looked into the other vehicle and I saw a young man about my own age. And he has already left this world. He said, I drove home without a word. The next night I asked my mother, would she come with me to the gospel meeting? For that night, he said, I was awakened to the great reality, if I was taken from time into eternity, it would be the blackness of darkness forever. What was it that stirred him to seek salvation? Nor did he rest until he had the assurance that all is well for the eternal future. It was the reality that he was on a path that was leading to judgment. Oh, the Savior, as he preached, said, Christ, there's many on a road, and it's leading to destruction. I wonder, can you go back over life of recent times? And has God been dealing with you these three times? Robbing you of some academical ambition? Robbing you of some career that you had your heart set upon, and God has been dealing with you in providence to preserve you on a downward way. There is a hymn the Christians sing at times, and I always sing it with thanksgivings. Preserved by Jesus when my feet made haste to hell, and there should I have gone, but thou doest all things well. Thy love is great, thy mercy free, which from the pit delivered me. Adam and Eve awakened, their eyes opened, to learn that just as we are, as fallen guilty creatures, we're not fit for the divine presence. A young man to learn that he was on a way that was perverse. If I asked you where you were last night, if I asked you about the pursuits that you follow in life with the all-seeing eye upon you, tell me, would you be like this young man that was on a way that was perverse before God, and yet God in his grace preserved him from ruin and allowed him to see the danger that he was in? Thank God for an awakening on our road to eternal ruin. A young man that has experienced that all that the world can offer is merely bottled. God said this about Israel, my people have committed two evils against me. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. They have hewn themselves out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. What's the difference between a bottle or a cistern and a fountain? Well, you know, the bottle is always limited in what it can hold. And a broken cistern doesn't hold as much as you expect to find in it. Oh, you know, Moses was a young man that was at the very crest of the wave in Egypt. He was counted the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He knew the fame of belonging to the royal house of Egypt when it was great as a nation. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt. Oh, the wealth of that mighty nation was at his disposal. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses, what have you in Egypt? Oh, he said, I have fame. I have wealth. And I have the pleasures of sin. He was enjoying things. What spoiled it? He said, it's only for a season. It's only a bottle. And one day I'll enjoy my last pleasure. And then for the sinner it's eternal affliction. Will you notice the contrast? Oh yes, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Any man in the company that has tried the world, oh yes, there's pleasures in sin. There's a thrill, you know, for the young man on the field of sport. But it's only for a season. There is a thrill in the business world to make success, you know. But you know, you have to leave everything behind. I'm not a critical listener. Quite often we hear about the rich man in hell. No, said Abraham, thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. All the wealth he had was for time, and he's a pauper for eternity. It's only a bottle, and it's a broken cistern, for there's not as much in it as any man expects to find. What's the contrast? Oh, they've forsaken me, the fountain of living water. We're drawing from a source that we'll never exhaust. Do you know we enjoy salvation? I'm saved over 40 years. It was sweet the night of conversion, you know. Oh, all I asked God for was deliverance from the consequence of my sin. I would have been eternally thankful for deliverance from the burnings beneath. It was sweet the first time I sang with feeling and confidence. The torment and the fire mine eyes shall never see. I was a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. I thought this will never be excelled. I want to tell you, I enjoy salvation more after 40 years. And we sing now, it's begun within my soul. Twill last till endless ages roll. And we're just learning on earth the wonder of the inheritance that we have been brought into. O Christ in thee, my soul hath found. And found in thee alone the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love, there's life, there's lasting joy. Lord Jesus found in thee. There's not a man that has got to Christ genuinely saved that ever regretted his choice. What did the young man learn? Oh, that has known the disappointments of empty bottles and draining the bottles of the world dry. Oh, in his eyes turned to see a well of water, that which satisfies every longing within the heart of the young man. May God open the eyes of some young man in the meeting tonight. and Isaac, climbing up Moriah's heights, he looked at fire that would burn. He looked at an instrument of judgment that would strike. And when he saw the fire that would burn, and viewed the instrument of judgment that would strike, "Oh," said Isaac, "where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Where is the one that will satisfy the claims of God's justice?" Abraham said, "God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Oh, John saw the answer to Isaac's question when he viewed the person of Christ. Listen to his language, that princely preacher. For he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Yes, Christ had 12 apostles. He spoke about more than 5 legions of angels. He sent forth 70 to preach on one occasion. Did you notice it's the Lamb? We're not preaching religion tonight. For God has but one provision to meet the need of a perishing sinner. And God has provided it. And it's in the person of his Son. And said John, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." God has only one answer to meet the sinner's need. And it's found in the person of his Son. "Yes," said Peter in his loyalty, "Lord, I'll even die with you." And Peter meant it. It was that man who took up his pen and wrote, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." Said Peter, there was none that shared that work with Christ. It was his own self. What did he do, Peter? He bore our sins. Where did he bear them? He bore them on the tree. And we sing, "He bore on the tree the sentence for me. And now both the surety and sinner, they're free." Oh, said John, "Behold, the Lamb of God, singular. There's only salvation found in Christ." "Yes," said Peter. "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." God will provide the lamb for a burnt offering. But Isaac, he learned this, his own helplessness. Bound a helpless creature upon the altar. He looked up into the instrument of judgment that could strike, and the fire about to burn. Oh, God intervened. And he turned. And Abraham saw a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. And listen to the language. He offered him up. He offered him in the stead of his son Isaac. "Oh," said Isaac, "he took the very place where I stood. And he bore the very stroke that made me to tremble. And because another that God had provided was in my stead and bore the judgment in my place, I go free." Is that what John Newton experienced? "I died that thou mayest live." There was a man in our country that preached the gospel for 70 years. They don't retire you at 65, it's evident. And it was the last line of that hymn that opened the eyes of that man when he was in his teens. "I died that thou mayest live." Tell me,
If Paul could say the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me, would it meet your need? Feeling his helplessness, and Isaac had his eyes directed to one of God's providing. Oh, it's typical of God's only Son, given to take the place of the guilty and exhaust the judgment when for us he bled. May God open the eyes of some dear one tonight to see the sufficiency of Christ to meet the sinner's need.